This is Common Ground, a program on world affairs and the people who shape events.
I think very strongly that there's a recognition, both in this country on some levels within our own government, as well as in Russia, that the future of Russia is really highly dependent upon the building of the small business or the business environment.
I know some of the people I started dealing with started with the Soviet philosophy of the customer is always wrong, and you had to bring them around to the philosophy of the customer is always right if you want to get repeat business and recommendations.
Doing business in Russia on this edition of Common Ground. Common Ground is produced by the Stanley Foundation. I'm Mary Gray Davidson. While turmoil seems to beset the Russian government, other parts of Russian society go about their everyday affairs. The business sector, for instance, continues its efforts to build a market economy. Our three guests today are all Americans who are working in Russia, and they're the first to admit that it's been a learning experience for both sides. Here to share their experiences are Carol Vipperman of the Foundation for Russian-American Economic Cooperation, Peter Maggs, a professor of law at the University of Illinois, and John McClellan, Vice President for International Business Development of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. All three took part in a Stanley Foundation conference this past fall focusing on Russian-American relations. We begin our conversation with Mr. McClellan, who explains just what his company is doing in Russia.
My company is unique in that we are owned and operated by the Inupiat Eskimos of Alaska's North Slope. We have not only business interests in Russia, but we also have a cultural tie to the indigenous natives in the northernmost part of Russia. So it's our hope to expand our business operations into Russia using the lessons that we've learned in Alaska, but also involve the indigenous population of the northernmost regions in Russia.
And Peter Maggs, you're a professor of law at the University of Illinois, and I know that you have been working with Russians on their evolving legal system, is that right? But you also now have a fledgling import-export business?
Yes, I've been working with people on developing the legal system there to make it more hospitable for business, and also working with lawyers here advising both Russian and American clients on international business. But because I have over the years developed a lot of contacts there, I've been working with several Russian businesses in the import-export trade. One imports computers from the United States, the other exports information to the United States, and the third has fallen on business hard times.
And Carol Vipperman, our third guest, you're president of the Seattle, Washington-based Foundation for Russian-American Economic Cooperation. Is that a private group or a government organization?
No, that's actually, we're a nonprofit organization that has over 135 firms throughout the five northwestern states and actually beyond. Basically, our mission is to foster business connections between the former Soviet Union, Russia specifically, and the Northwest. And in particular, that gets us involved with a lot of different activities, including facilitating information and contacts for businesses. We become a clearinghouse. We do a lot of research for some of our members. But in addition to that, we do have a USAID grant to really help facilitate and nurture and accelerate, hopefully, the matchmaking process between small to medium-sized businesses in the Western U.S. and entrepreneurs in the Russian Far East.
One of the questions that's come up at the Stanley Foundation conference is why Americans are over in Russia right now. Is it traditionally our interest has been security-oriented, but now there's obviously opportunities for new markets and profits. Could each of you comment on what your purpose is over there? Carol, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that there's a recognition by many businesses that this is a marketplace that makes sense to explore, and you'll find perhaps a little different motivation for a very large company, and we have several of them in our region involved, who are looking at it from a competitive point of view. They're already global in their work. This is another market, and as the Boeing company has said, you know, they don't need another competitor. They would really like to have an alliance. But as you look at the small to medium-sized marketplace, you get into both this very strategic business opportunity. But a lot of the entrepreneurs that I talk to, in addition to having this real sense of opportunity in terms of business, also have something that I have called before as just a heart connection. There's something compelling about the culture that pulls them very strongly into Russia, and it usually has to do with the people and the connections they make, that sustain them through some very difficult times and the challenges. If you looked at it from a rational point of view, some of them would say, why am I here? I can do business in Canada a lot easier than I can do it in Russia. But there's something other than the market, the rational reasons for doing business, and I call it the heart connection.
Peter Maggs, what's your interest in Russia?
Well, I think also it's a longstanding interest in Russian society, since I'm a professor specializing in that, but I also have developed many friendships there, and frankly, I got into the business to help some friends who are getting into business, and it sort of grew, indeed, the information business grew to where I've just handed it off to another company in the United States because I don't have time to handle it, and the computer business has grown where much, I think, to my surprise at least, it's actually making a reasonable amount of money.
And John McClellan, you clearly work for an organization that has some specific objectives.
Right, and along with the cultural reasons for being in Russia, we also are there because of sound business reasons. In Alaska, we are primarily in the service sector supporting resource development in the coal region's environment. And those special technologies and specialized equipment that we've developed seem to be exactly what's needed in Russia today to help develop their resources.
How different is it doing business in Russia than in the USA? I've had limited experience. I know what you have to go through to send a fax over there. What are some of the obstacles, and is it that different?
Well, I would say it's considerably different. Depending on what region you are, too, in Russia makes a difference as well. I mean, the communication systems in the European part of Russia are probably a little easier these days than they are in some parts of the Russian Far East, for example. I think one of the more challenging pieces, and Peter can probably speak to this in much more detail, is the lack of a rule of law, as I've heard. There's not the rules are not clear all the time, so it makes the playing field very uneven. And so what you think is a given on one occasion, and you turn around a week or 2 weeks later, and they may have changed it all over again. And I hear story after story of companies who are putting together something, they think they got all the pieces together and they're ready to move, and there is a new decree or a new change and it makes the whole system, I mean, they have to start all over again. That's very different than the experience of trying to do business here.
Peter Maggs, do you agree that the lack of a rule of law is a real problem?
I think it is a real problem, but it doesn't mean there are no opportunities. It means you really need to know and trust the person you're dealing with, because if he doesn't come through on his promises, probably you just have to write that off as a loss. And the person you're dealing with has to really know the political and policy angles of the government so that he's not caught in a sudden change.
And John McClellan.
Well, I think doing business in Russia for us has been sort of a mixed blessing. Some things are more difficult, such as communication, but in some ways, it's a lot simpler. We just finished negotiating and signing a contract that was very uncomplicated, in that there were no attorneys involved. since there is no rule of law, we were able to strike an agreement, decide on a payment schedule that protected everyone. Basically, it's a handshake agreement, but everyone's protected, and it was a very simple thing to do.
One complaint I heard from Russians during a trip that I took there last year, in in their observations of the government is that it's the same people running the show in Russia. They just have different titles or they've switched ideology. Who are you dealing with in business in Russia? Is it the old apparatchiks, or is there a whole new crop of people who have been able to move into business?
Businessman I'm dealing with is under 35, and indeed I was at a meeting of the U.S.-Russia Business Council last week, and one of the Russians suggested to Americans you choose young partners whose thinking has not been clouded by living too long under the old system, and certainly this guy is very entrepreneurial-minded.
I would agree with that. I think that one of the surprises for some American business people initially was that often the people who are the most likely partners were much younger than what we consider in this country. You know, we think that with age comes some wisdom, and of course in Russia that's not necessarily the case. One of the challenges, though, that presents that I hear from the entrepreneurs is that unless you have a mechanism to get into the system to find out who they are, the traditional entree to a region, for example, may take you through the chambers of commerce, the government offices, and you're more likely then to meet some of those older folks that have been in the system a long time, that have been running a state enterprise and now they're a joint stock company or they moved over here. So it is challenging for someone who doesn't have a system of networks to figure out who those reliable entrepreneurs are, but they're there and they're growing.
John McClellan, since ethnic Russians were, at least in the Soviet Union, controlling a lot of what went on in that country, I would imagine you're working with a lot of newcomers.
Well, newcomers in the business sense, that's correct. First, let me make a distinction between the so-called ethnic Russians, or the Serbs and the Croats, and some of the more what we would think of, I guess, as religious minorities. The indigenous people that I'm working with mainly are the native groups in the far north, and they're treated and thought of a lot differently in Russia than they are here in the States. They're looked at as the original Russians, and they have inherent rights. They are new to the business world, though, and that's been sort of a mixed blessing again, trying to have them understand some of the business concepts with literally no background in business on their part.
Peter Maggs, you had a point you wanted to make?
Well, I was going to say I'm dealing with quite a different type of group. The businessman I deal with has a PhD and only hires people with PhDs in math or physics because he says he knows they're smart. There's a great surplus now from layoffs in the military industries of these really highly educated people. So when you get more toward cities like Moscow, you can just get very well-qualified people to deal with.
You're listening to Common Ground. It's a service of the Stanley Foundation. We are talking about doing business in Russia with Americans Carol Vipperman of the Foundation for Russian-American Economic Cooperation, John McClellan of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, and Peter Maggs of the University of Illinois School of Law. All three participated in a Stanley Foundation conference this fall on Russian-American relations. The Stanley Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that conducts a wide range of programs meant to provoke thought and encourage dialogue on world affairs. We taped this conversation shortly before the December elections in Russia, when Vladimir Zhirinovsky cast his shadow on world affairs. But according to our guests, even the equally unsettling disillusion of and bloody confrontation with the former Russian parliament did not put a damper on their business dealings. Here's Carol Vipperman.
Well, it's interesting because I think that I was in Vladivostok during the time that the parliament was dissolved, and it was basically a non-event. The region was moving forward. They sort of passed it off. It's not being apathy, as they were talking. It's just saying this is something that's totally not relevant to our ability to do business. So it was business as usual. Now, I wasn't there, of course, during the time when they had the confrontation. I think that there's a general view, for example, in the Russian Far East, that this could be very positive. People are excited about the opportunity this presents. There's a lot to be said about how it gets implemented in terms of the change and so forth. But the view of the businesses, the Russian and the U.S. businesses, was they're moving forward. They're going to keep moving forward. There's going to be these different changes politically. We have to keep moving forward.
The message I got on the day of the tank shooting at the Parliament building was there's some parts broken in some of the computers. Can you Federal Express for warranty repairs some new parts, which I would call very much business as usual. But as soon as it was clear Yeltsin had won, then the message was we're thinking of investing heavily in bigger and better store facilities in Moscow. So I think Yeltsin winning really upped business confidence substantially.
Did you sense that, Mr. McClellan?
I did. As this was going on in Moscow, I did check with my business contacts in Russia and found, much as these others did, that it was considered pretty much a non-event. It only helped clear the air for future business.
You know, what's going on in these business contacts between the U.S. and Russia don't get that much play in the media. You read an article about it once in a while. Mainly what the media focuses on is what's going on in the government of Russia. But are these business relations, these extra-governmental relations, sort of the real untold story in Russia? Is this what is going to make the Russia of the future, in your opinion?
I think very strongly that there's a recognition both in this country on some levels within our own government as well as in Russia that the future of Russia is really highly dependent upon the building of the small business or the business environment. And I think that that this is a critical area for the future of Russia is the building of these relationships. And it isn't talked about very much in the media. And what we hear about, if anything, are the things that didn't work, and what we're not hearing, unfortunately, are all the examples of things that are significant, that are working, small, perhaps, strategic, but are working.
I think these export-import deals and joint ventures also are a great help in educating Russians to how you have to do business in the world. I know some of the people I started dealing with started with the Soviet philosophy of the customer is always wrong, and you had to bring them around to the philosophy of the customer is always right if you want to get repeat business and recommendations.
It was mentioned in the conference discussion this morning that there is a possibility of danger in U.S. Business types going over to Russia and trying to transplant the American style of business, that there could be a backlash from the Russian business people. And do you encounter any such resentment, and do you sense, or is this even true, that American businesses are going over there and trying to show Russians how to do business?
I really take exception to that comment because I'm not so sure that that's where the backlash will occur. What I experience and I hear from other business people, there is a cultural difference about how you approach business, and the Russians are eager for information. I think that what is also important for Americans to recognize, however, is to understand the Russian culture well enough to understand how you make something work in that culture, because you can't transplant our accounting systems and the things that we typically do and just lay it on top. The business people I encounter are really working cooperatively with their partners to try to make something work there that has some application outside or some viability outside of Russia. I think the backlash will probably occur more from other kinds of government-related programs, such as in democracy building, such as humanitarian aid. The Russians say over and over again, we do not want humanitarian aid. We want investment. We want training. We want business connections. That's what we want.
I think it's important to be a little bit humble and realize that there are many things that your Russian business partner knows more than you know about. I know more about the latest computer products in the United States because I'm here and can see them coming out. My Russian partner is setting up a dealer network throughout the country. He knows much more about how to go into Krasnoyarsk and find a reliable person to be his dealer there than I would ever know about.
And I'll agree that American businesses are bringing over a lot of American ideas, but from my experience, has been at the request of the Russian businessmen. In my case, I find that as a for-profit company, we find ourselves advising regional governments on how to structure language in their new regulations, which is sort of a strange role for us, but it's at their request.
Well, I think the three of you have had some longer-standing experience with Russian society than perhaps some other entrepreneurs going over there. Have you sensed this Americans just running roughshod over Russian business people? Is that a problem?
There are two problems that I see in terms of the business community, and we have our own version of what we might call carpetbaggers that make it difficult for legitimate business people who go over and maybe borderline on being kind of, you know, being con artists. That has left a very, very negative taste in the mouths of the Russian officials and business people. But on the other hand, we have a number of some of the Russia's versions of carpetbaggers coming to the States, also taking advantage of naive business people. So I still think that's a minority when you consider a large opportunity there is for that kind of activity. But other than that, I don't see American business people, legitimate business people, roughshodding over. Not at all.
The Russians are getting more sophisticated. I noticed an ad from Moscow the other day. Check out your American business partner. We'll have an American company run a credit and background check on him, know who you're dealing with. And likewise, Russian companies, credit rating companies, are starting to grow up where you can check out your Russian business partner in a systematic manner.
I would just like to add to that, there is a business in our region that is literally all former intelligence, both U.S. and KGB and militia, that have formed an association, and the service that they're providing is the ability to do credit checks, verify how involved your partner or potential partner is in the mafia, and that's a whole new business that's emerging. There's 56 independent organizations, apparently, in Russia that were all former intelligence officers in Russia doing that, so it's a growing business.
I'm curious, in a society with Russia's history, if the idea of being able to do credit checks and things like that makes people nervous.
Who's nervous?
Well,
Americans aren't nervous.
Oh, I'm Russians sure. Nervous.
I'm sure the Russians would be nervous if that is a service that's bound to emerge just as insurances and other things.
One businessman from Illinois, I helped find a Russian outfit to do a check on a land deal. And it turned out to be the classic buying the Brooklyn Bridge deal. He was being offered the land for a very reasonable price, but the people selling it didn't own it.
John McClellan, so far in our discussion, we've been talking about Americans doing business with the Russians, but there are obviously countries from all over the world doing business in Russia as well. What kind of competition do you face from other countries?
Routinely, we go up against European and Pacific Rim countries, and I think the Russians prefer to do business with Americans. I mean, I've been told this repeatedly.
Because of their business practices or what?
Well, I think there's a glamour or a desirability about the U.S. over other countries. There's also a feeling that Americans have the best technology. American know-how is a term that I've heard a lot, and they prefer American technology for that reason. I found it interesting that the business development practices are a little bit different. We've been told that the Europeans like to sell equipment, but they don't want to provide service after the sale. They just make the sale and then disappear, where the American firms tend to stay around and service the equipment on a longer-term relationship. And I've seen that the Korean and Japanese businessmen go in and spend a lot of money and attention up front, but then they tend to withdraw very suddenly when they realize the project's not viable, where the Americans, the pattern is to go in and look at an opportunity, go away and think about it, which the Russians sort of feel like we've left for good. But then they now realize when the Americans come back after they've thought about it, then they know they now know that the Americans are serious and will stay. Where the Pacific Rim countries, there's a distrust of their real motive now.
Peter Maggs and Carol Vipperman, do you sense this preference for doing business with Americans?
I definitely sense it, though, in the business my Russian partner is in, installing advanced computer networks. There's really no other country that could compete with the United States. The main problem is once you get into technology where we're better than any other country, you get into some leftover Cold War export controls that don't stop transactions because they're always approved eventually, but they really slow down business.
I hear this constantly, regardless of where I am in Russia, is just, you know, where are the Americans? We want to work with Americans. But the reality is that if you were to compare, I think the investments or the interest of Americans versus some of the Pacific Rim companies, it's still fairly small and needs to grow. And so at some point, unless the numbers pick up, I think they're forced on some level to deal with some of the other countries they would prefer not to, just out of just necessity. So one of the constant messages that we're trying to give is that there are opportunities, and to just get something strategic moving, something, just to get the American presence there, because that is their preference.
Yeah, you touched on my final question as a wrap-up. What would you say to Americans considering doing some business in Russia? Would you invite them in? Is it too dicey a situation? You've touched on that. John McClellan, what would you say?
I would recommend that any company that's considering it go ahead and do it, try it. But I would be cautious about investing a large amount of money until you understand the situation, spend a little time there. But the opportunities are real, and they're there.
And Peter Maggs?
Well, the first thing I'd recommend is either be sure you know a good bit about the situation there, or you get some good advice from people who do know. Don't go in just as a sort of foreign tourist and do business with the first person you meet. You need to know about the general situation and the people, and then build the business up gradually. But I think they're great opportunities, because the very fact there are less foreign businesses means you face less stiff competition there than you would, say, trying to sell in Canada, where there are already plenty of good companies selling and buying almost anything.
I would just add to what has been said is that I think that it's important to take a long-term view at doing business there, and not something where you're going to come in and get out with a profit immediately. That if you find the right partner, you start strategic, that you can make something work, because within all this quote-unquote chaos or instability is a lot of opportunity. But I would add something that one of our members said recently is, I used to say, you know, Russia is not for the faint of heart, but the other point is Russia is also not for the whiners. So it's important to keep that perspective.
That was Carol Vipperman, president of the Foundation for Russian-American Economic Cooperation. We also heard from John McClellan, Vice President of International Business Development for the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, and Peter Maggs, Corman Professor of Law at the University of Illinois College of Law. I'm Mary Gray Davidson. If you'd like to order a cassette of this Common Ground program, call toll-free 1-800-767-1929. Visa and MasterCard are accepted. Ask for program number 9402. If you'd like more information about the Stanley Foundation, or you have some comments about the program, please write to us at 216 Sycamore Street, Muscatine, Iowa, 52761. Again, the toll-free number to order cassettes is 1-800-767-1929. Our theme music was created by B.J. Lederman. Common Ground was produced and funded by the Stanley Foundation.